I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be doing a special communion meditation talking about marriage and money. So if you've been believing God for some turning in your marriage or in your finances, we're going to take a time of communion today over those areas, because often what I've learned is they are one and the same problem. They both have to do with partnership. They both have to do with covenants. And we're going to be looking at how they tie together in those aspects. And they're often one and the same problem. We can create a turning, hopefully, in both of them at the same time together. So let's get started with prayer. We're going to start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. And if you're not familiar with this process, you're new to us here. Our whole program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, started for me with Proverbs 13:22, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse inspired me to create books and manuals and courses to pass on to my children and hopefully grandchildren one day for how to build a better life, how to truly live. And we got training for every area, purpose and health and family, finances, order, time and community. And most importantly, living a life connected to God and a life of faith. And my goal was to have training for every area. And it turned into a whole program with partners and books and courses and all of these things as well. And I've seen God come through and just help me walk this thing out, because I had no clue where to start when I got started. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the first thing I would want to get established in somebody's life is what I call the 30-day prayer challenge process. And it's about a two-minute long prayer that we pray every day. This is the prayer I pray every day over myself, my family, everybody connected to me. And we pray this prayer, and then we take a couple minutes to get still and to listen, to do the other half of prayer, because prayer is a two-way communication. And taking a couple minutes to get still and to listen, and we create a plan for the day with God, where God is in charge. God's navigating our day, and he's going to help us do the things that are right and best in his eyes, and to do it with confidence in him, to do it with a good attitude. And we're going to execute those things trusting that God is with us, that he's helping us, he's empowering us and equipping us. As we've been talking about this month of June, he's anointed us to do these things that he's prepared for us to do. And we're going to go through that process of praying the prayer, getting still, listening, creating a plan with him, and then executing, trusting and in faith that he's with us as we go through that process. But I believe if you'll implement that, you implement that process, you'll do two things. You'll implement that process, and then you'll take regular communion. In the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing is daily communion with Jesus. We put out these daily communion meditations that you can use as a guide for those. But taking regular communion, we keep a box of matzah crackers and grape juice just on hand all the time at our house. But daily communion, and you can use communion as a way to create turning points in your life, as a way to connect with God and create turning points in your life and to activate the promises that he has made in our lives. But let's get started with the prayer challenge prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening to this. And I just pray for all their families, their friends, those connected to them. I pray for all of our partners, Lord, and those connected to them. And we pray for all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace and goodness and all that you've done for us in our lives. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us, bless our time here together. Let us all come away with practical things that we can implement, along with feeling encouraged and inspired, and create this turning in these areas of marriage and money, Lord. We ask you to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness and all that you want to do in our lives. and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. And Father, we ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you, and to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So marriage and money. Before I get into that, if you want to learn more about that prayer and this prayer challenge process, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com. On the free tools and resources page, you'll find some additional training videos that go along with that prayer to break down the prayer and help you understand it more, along with a tracker that you can use to plan your day with God every day. But marriage and money, two issues that often go together. So if you've been believing God for a turning in your marriage or financial breakthroughs, or you just want to go to the next level in your marriage or your money, and you want God to be the source of it, one of the things we're going to be looking for today is that God's going to be the source of this turning. It's not that we forced it or made it happen or we figured it out. It's that he is the God of all grace. He's the God of all comfort, the God of all hope, the God of all peace, the God of all grace. And he can make all grace abound to us. But this idea of marriage and money, they're often two separate issues, but they often have one root. They're often connected. They have to do with partnerships and they have to do with covenant. Because our money, you know, we all know marriage is a covenant partnership where we're partnering together in life. And it, God said in the book of Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. And yes, we've got God, the Holy Spirit, God with us. But a husband and wife who are working together in agreement, in partnership, is one of the most powerful forces. And it can create financial breakthroughs when they get on the same page. And so this idea of marriage and money, they're both about covenants. They're both about partnership. In fact, in our financial blueprint, you know, in the book Pockets of Prosperity that we have, or the Miracle Year book, we talk about the financial blueprint. The number one table turner, the number one thing, the most important thing around money that creates financial success is partnership. And so we need to understand that both of these issues have to do with partnership and covenant. And I'm just reading here. I'm looking in Genesis chapter 14. And this is a story of Abraham going to rescue Lot. Abraham and Lot have separated. So first of all, Abraham took a step of faith. He took a step of faith and trust to prove that he believed in God. He had some works that proved that he believed in God. There was strife going on with he and Lot about their herds and flocks and not enough room in the land for both of them. And so Abraham tells Lot, you choose whatever land you want to go to. You pick whichever land is before you. And Lot chose the better land. And Abraham was willing to be wronged financially by his family. He was willing to be wronged financially. And he gave Lot the better land, trusting that God was with him. And I want you to look at this real quick. Right after they separated, Abraham took a step of faith. He let Lot take whatever land he wanted. He said, I'll just go whichever way, and God, because he trusted that God was with him. Right after he did that, it says this: the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south and east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. And I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the land, the length and breadth, for I'm giving it to you. This is God speaking. So right after Abraham takes this step of faith, God speaks to him right away. He says, hey, you've done a good thing. But then Lot gets in trouble. Lot gets captured and he gets taken away by these kings. Abraham goes, he gets all the trained men in his house, 318 trained men in his house, and they attack by night and they take over and they get Lot and all the people back. After that happens, it says, after Abraham, this is Genesis chapter 14, starting in verse 17. It says, after that happened, after Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings that were allied with him, and the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, so Melchizedek, we see in the New Testament, is a picture, this king Melchizedek, he was a king and a priest. And it says he was a picture or a symbol or a type of Jesus. that Jesus is a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. I believe it's in Hebrews. Melchizedek came out. He was the priest of God Most High. He was King Melchizedek, King of Salem, which means peace. And he was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram. And he said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. So Abraham, we see this connection between covenant. He brings out communion meal for him. He brings out a communion meal for him after restoration took place. And Abraham gives him a tenth of everything. So one of the things you can begin to do, if you're not doing it already, in the area of finances, is begin to take 10% of your money. A tithe. Take 10% of your money. And here's what I would have you do with it. Take it and set it aside. Create a separate account for it. Set it aside and let it store up in there. And say, God, this is your money. This is the money that you've commanded me to set aside, that you said is best for me to set aside. And I'm going to seek you on what to do with it. And you're going to let it store up there. And as you transfer it, I want you to do this. I want you to give thanks the moment that you are transferring it. I want you to give thanks and gratitude coming out of your mouth that God has released me from the darkness. He's transferred me into the light. He's released me from the darkness. He's transferred me into the light, into the kingdom of his dear son. And this transferring of this money is a symbol. It's a point of trust. It's a point of contact that God is with me. I've got a covenant with God. I'm in his kingdom. And I'm going to let this money store up, and I'm going to let it build up in an account. And then I'm gonna seek you, God, on how to use this money. I'm going to seek you, God, on what you want me to do with this money. I believe if you'll do that, it will lead to better financial success. So Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Then the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. So we see here, what do you value more, money or people? It's one of the biggest tests we face in the area of finances. What do you value more? Give me the people and you keep the stuff. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I've raised my hand to the Lord God, Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a sandal or a thread of a thong of a sandal, that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me. So Abraham was saying, no man is going to say that he made me rich. It was God that made him rich. He's the God of all grace. He can make all grace abound to you. So that having all sufficiency at all times in all things, you can abound to every good work. And then right after that, here's the next subtitle that comes. God's covenant with Abram. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be the heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. This righteousness by faith. He believed God. He had this covenant. God says, don't be afraid. I'm going to be your shield, and I'm going to be your very great reward. I feel like God's making that same promise to us today. Don't be afraid. I'm going to be your shield and your very great reward. We talked about several weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, in our partner calls with the Abundant Life Blueprint, about this word, very great reward. I believe it's the Hebrew word sakar, which means God's going to be your wages. He's going to be with you. And if you've got God with you, everything is going to be okay because nothing is impossible with him. So God is supposed to be the source of our financial success, financial prosperity, and his grace abounding to you. It's not that any person made you rich, and we're not supposed to be seeking after that. We seek God and trust that he is the one that brings the increase. Now let's look at how a story from the life of David and how this idea of marriage and money and stuff are connected a little bit more as well. So this is 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I'm going to read, this is out of the Amplified Bible. So David is living in the wrong place. He's living with the Philistines because Saul has been chasing him, trying to kill him. And he finally just flees and goes to live in the land of the Philistines. The Philistines are about to go fight in a war against the Israelites. And David and his men are going to go fight with the Philistines against his Israelite people. They're going to be fighting against them. But the Philistines say, no, this isn't right. What if David turns on us and attacks us? And so they send David back home. And when David gets home, his land, his house, and all of his men's stuff has been raided. And they've taken away all of their family. The enemy has come and taken away their wives, their children, all their possessions, all their stuff. They've got nothing left. And so here's what happens here. And it says, now it happened when David and his men came home to Ziklag on the third day, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. They had taken captive the women and all who were there, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off to be used as slaves. So the enemy was trying to take away their family to make them slaves, and went on their way. When David and his men came to the town, it was burned, and their wives and sons and daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they were too exhausted to weep any longer. They were distraught. Now David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Further, David was greatly distressed because people spoke of stoning him for all of them were embittered. Each man was for his sons and his daughters. So David's men were turning on him here. But David felt strengthened and encouraged in the Lord his God. So he encouraged himself in the Lord. David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought him the ephod, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band of raiders? Will I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you will certainly overtake them, and you will certainly rescue the captives. Just thinking about Jesus talks about Isaiah 61. He's been anointed to come set the captives free. So David went, and he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor. There those who could not continue remained behind, but David pursued the Amalekites, he and 400 men. For 200 men were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor, and they stayed behind. They found an Egyptian who had collapsed in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread, and he ate. And they gave him water to drink, and they gave him a piece of a fig cake and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his energy returned, for he had not eaten bread or had any water to drink for 3 days and three nights. David said to him, to whom do you belong and where are you from? He said, I'm a young man from Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite, and my master has abandoned me as useless when I fell sick 3 days ago. We made a raid on the Negev and on that which belongs to Judah and on the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. Then David said to him, will you take me down to this band of raiders? And he said, swear to me by God that you will not kill me or turn me over to my masters, and I will bring you down to this band. When he brought David down, the Amalekites had disbanded and spread all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because all of the great spoil they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David and his men struck them down in battle from twilight until the evening of the next day. And not a man of them escaped except 400 men who rode camels and fled. So David recovered all. David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives. Nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David recovered it all. So David captured all the flocks and herds which the enemy had and the people and drove those animals before him and said, this is David's spoil. So David had all of his money, all of his stuff, and his wives taken from him. And he recovered all. And this was actually right after this, David becomes king. David becomes king right after this. So if you've been believing God for a turning in these areas, or just the next level even, in it, maybe these areas are going good and you just want to go to the next level in these areas because there's always another level. Then we're going to take communion over this. And every time we take communion, it is like an activation. It's creating a turning point. We're releasing the old and we're transitioning into the new. And we're activating this in our lives. But every time we take communion, we do so with holy awe and reverence and delight for what God and what Jesus did. It's a reminder of this covenant. It's a reminder that every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. And his death was a big deal. Why? Because in the case of a will or an estate plan, you have to prove somebody's death to activate all of these things in their will and their estate. God has given us, Jesus has given us this new covenant. But every time we proclaim the death, we're proclaiming that this new covenant is in effect. This new covenant, that God is with us. He's with us. He's our shield. He's our great reward. He's given us this covenant of love, that he's with us and he can make all grace abound to us in our marriage, in our money, in every area of life. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. And we bless it in Jesus' name. And we thank you that on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then after supper, at the Last Supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks for it. "Father, we thank you for this cup. You've released us from the darkness. You've transferred us into the kingdom of your dear Son. You've given us this new covenant. We bless this cup in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup. He says, this is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name." All right. Every time we take communion, right now, if you're taking communion with me, we're receiving that God is with us in our marriage, in our money. And here's what we're going to do. We're receiving this right now. God is going to make all grace abound to you. We're activating this promise in this area for marriage and money to go to the next level, to create turning points and breakthroughs in these areas. But then we got to walk it out. We have to follow through. And how do we do that? We finish high. Keep your eyes fixed on the things above, where God is working for you. He's working for your good. So stop. Here's what I want you to do. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to change people. Focus on giving your spouse the same grace and love that God has given you. Just love them unconditionally. God has given us this covenant of love. He's doing good for us all the time. Go about doing good in your marriage every single day. Give them the same grace God has given you. And focus on covenant. Fix your eyes. Learn more and more about this covenant of God. God says, "I've given you the power to get wealth." Why? To establish my covenant with you. And now it becomes about this, learning to partner and learning to covenant. You got this partnership with God and learning to take that example and let that example of this covenant partnership with God flow through into your marriage. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.